6 listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, where we are informative, encouraging, and lifting up the name of Jesus, and we are sharing the great, great news. Anyways, today on the show, I have in the studio, live guest coming to you. His name is Lewis. Good morning, Brother Lewis.
How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And you?
Pretty good. I'm alive. That's all you need.
That's true. Just being alive and knowing who Christ is.
Yeah, not only just alive, alive in Christ. You know, God is good, man. God is good. It's been a while since I've been in the studio.
Yeah, that's where I first met you, was the studio. Actually, I met you at Carl's Jr.'s, then I met you at the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
It was on a program called Kickback.
The Kickback. Yeah, let's get it straight. But, you know, that was fun, you know, doing the radio show, doing the Kickback. You know, everything happens for a season, and it opened up my eyes to kind of like what I could do in Christ or through Christ, you know. So it was fun, you know, a lot of fellowship, got to meet different people, kind of like we said, you know, that's kind of how I met you. And then now I'm back on the other side being the interviewee. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're being the interviewee today.
Okay.
So, Lewis, let's get a little bit into your testimony.
Let's dive right in.
Talk about how you got saved and how the Lord revealed himself to you.
Well, growing up, you know, I was part of a society, just a broken family, got raised by my grandparents. And it's funny because for so long, I felt it was like I'm the only one like this. You know, I lived in a neighborhood in Santa Fe Springs, Southern California. It's close to Whittier. You say Whittier, everyone knows it, but it's like right next door to Santa Fe Springs. Where's that? You know, so we'll say Whittier for the people. You know, being a broken family, you know, just thinking that it was only me. On our block, we had, what, like 30 houses on a block. Our house was like literally right in the middle of the block. And Super Bowls, Thanksgivings, 4th of July's, any type of holiday or pretty much any type of gathering of the family, the cops show up. My family starts drinking.
What fun.
Yeah, but but for so long, I felt like this is only me. It's only me. It's only me. So growing up, I held on to that, you know. And then like one day, a friend of mine, you know how like your close friends, like your real friends, they could tell something's wrong with you. I could read your body language, you know. And I was telling him what's going on. And he's like, well, dude, that's my aunt, my uncle. That's not my parents, you know. And then it kind of opened up. And then, you know, kind of like the book was open. I'm not the only one. There's a lot of broken families. There's a lot, you know, having my mom in and out of my life, not knowing really who my dad is. That hurt, not knowing really who my dad is. So as a joke.
Quite devastating.
Not to that effect, but, you know, it did hurt, you know.
Painful.
We joke around to kind of make light of it. So I used to joke around and say, the only thing I got from my dad is his last name and his eyes, you know, but inside I'm hurt, you know? And so, you know, just being a part of that, you know, then one day it was in 15-ish, you know, my...
When you were around 15 years of age?
Yeah. Okay. About, I think it was like my sophomore year in high school or something like that. We went to a church, which is in El Monte. And, there were a ministry called Victory Outreach, which is a worldwide ministry. And
I've heard of them, yeah.
So we go to this church, and I felt uncomfortable because just of the way everyone was, or not was, but you know how they look, tattoos on their necks. And
their appearance.
Yeah, you know, they're all ex-something.
Presentation of who they
ex
were.
Ex-gang members, drug addicts.
You were uncomfortable with that?
Well, just because, to be honest, I felt like I was at a gang meeting. You know,
okay.
I mean, you see the pastors with tattoos on their neck, on, you know, sleeve down, big mustaches. And then as the service starts to going, you hear them, you know, during worship, they're lifting their hands up and they're singing, and some are crying and yelling hallelujah. And I was just like, I feel uncomfortable because I feel like I don't fit in with them because I have no tattoos. I've never really used like heavy, I wasn't really heavy into drugs, things like, I've never been in a gang, I've never been shot, you know, stuff like that. So, but just the peace that, or whatever, I didn't know it was, whatever was flowing in the atmosphere, I grabbed onto that and I howled and I was like, I told my mom, this is what I like. And I even told her, I said, I don't feel comfortable because, you know, do I got to get a tattoo to come to church, you know? So
you just didn't feel like you fit it in.
Yeah. But then, you know, you run into someone, hey, you go to this church? Hey, you go here. And then it's kind of like, now it's like God opening the book, like, hey, let me take control, you know? So we went, maybe two or three times to the church service, and every time I just that peace or whatever it was that, you know, back then I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. It was the Holy Spirit, but you know, I didn't know what it was. So I was telling my mom, I want to start coming to this church. And the way God works is like, you don't have to come to me. I'll come to you. Mm-hmm. And I get a knock on the door. I'm at my grandpa's house. It's like a Saturday. And I see three or four people, and I can see they got like a Bible in their hand and some flyers. And I'm like, oh, Jehovah Witness. you know, that's kind of like the first thing, you know.
Yeah.
So they.
No offense, but when I was a kid, I called them hobo witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to just peek out the window, you know.
Yeah. My grandma, see him coming and run.
Yeah, I could just hear my grandma, lower the TV, be quiet, be quiet. So, so you know, I opened the door, and then, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, we're from Victory Outreach. We're starting a new church right here down the street at the elementary school. And it was just like, wow. So I kind of talked to, I couldn't even tell you who, but, you know, I just kind of said, you know, we went to the church a couple months ago or whatever. I really felt comfortable there. And now mm-hmm. it's like, oh, yeah, well, we're starting a church right here at the elementary school. So it was, how do you say, like God telling me, or not telling me, but showing me, like, hey.
Revealing.
Yeah, you know, I'm big enough where I could start a church over here. So you don't have to go mm-hmm. all the way over there. And then I started going to church thinking that's all you have to do is go to church. Mm-hmm. You know, I made it. I'm good. I go to church. Not knowing that it's a relationship. So
relationship.
That's the important thing. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. I think religion gets kind of thrown out there all the time where it's like, yeah, it is a religion in a sense, but it's mainly a relationship, you know.
It could be either way. It depends on how you look at it and how you deal with it. Some people it is just a religion, but we make it a relationship between us and the Lord. So I see where you're going with that. So continue.
But yeah, so I started going to church. You know, and it was just like a Sunday thing. And then it was like, okay, well, we have Friday nights. So then I started going Friday night. And then it was to the point where that love and that peace, mm-hmm. I didn't care what they were doing. I just wanted to go. You know, they would have a worship practice on Thursday. So we would go on Thursdays. And then it was just like all these different things. And then to the point where we got our own building. You know, we're not at the school anymore. We're in a building. We got our own church. So I was just, you know, during the summer times, I was trying to go there every day just to hang out with the pastor, just to be around that atmosphere, just to be around Christian people, because there's a certain kind of like you are who you hang around with, you know, especially when you're young in the Lord and you're not really strong enough, you know, temptation comes around. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, but just a little step and then another step. And then the next thing you know, you're jumping across and you're like, where am I? I don't feel comfortable. Like, it doesn't look familiar anymore. And it's
true.
Just, and it happens slow, but it happens quickly at, you know, same time. But, you know, just wanting to be around the atmosphere and, you know, and then being able to go on my first kind of like mission trip. You know, we went to New Orleans. And
oh, cool.
That was fun. This is way before Katrina. This was in like 98, 99, something like that. So. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
So what did you learn on that? What did God show you and teach you?
Man, just doesn't matter where you are, just rely on God, because, you know, they would drop us off because we were promoting a play. Victory Outreach is known for their plays. You know,
yeah,
they
the
have
plays.
Number of plays, you mm-hmm. know. And we were promoting this play, and they would drop us off, you know, sell tickets, you know, preach the word, do whatever you got to do. So we're out there and I don't know the streets of New Orleans, and you know, so we're walking, and it's just like, man, Lord, help me, help, you know, I need to get back to the church, I need to, you know, well, where's your church at? It was it over there, or over there? Yeah, you know, I was lost, but little things, you know, were, you know, oh, yeah, I could give you a ride this far, I'm only going so far, you know, just like, things like that, where it's just like, wow, God is there, you know, if you call on him. You know,
he's never far. He's always distant.
Yeah, you know, he's there. You know, you know, that was fun. And then I could remember, you know, because you know how you always hear the people say, oh, you know, I had a praying mom. I had a praying mom. I had a praying mom. I didn't have a praying mom. She had a praying son.
Ooh,
you know,
cool.
So I could remember praying and praying and I mean, I pray for her till I would cry myself to sleep praying for her. And then one day, it was a Friday night service, and, you know, she loved me, you know, even though she wasn't really in my life, you know, a whole lot, but she made, you know, she made her way, or she tried, she did what she could do, you know.
Yeah.
At least you're trying, that's what I said, at least you're trying.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, it was like a Friday night service, and I would always tell her, like, why don't you come into the church? She's mm-hmm. in the parking lot, because she's drinking, you know. So she said one day, just out of the blue, she's sitting in the parking lot, and something told her, like, go inside.
Yeah.
So she went in there, and she knew some people from the church. They lived on the same block. She grew up with a couple of the people. And she was like, I don't know, but something was telling me to come in here. And she went in there, and they prayed for her. And it was on a Friday. And then I think that Sunday, they shipped her out to Hayward from L.A. area to Hayward. They're like, you know, they had a women's home, and, you know, she moved out there. And to see the growth, you know, in her going through the home and different things like that, you know, it was pretty awesome to say, wow.
Sounds like it.
If God could change her,
he could
change anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're both serving the Lord. She's out here in Chico, and, you know, we're both serving the Lord. It's good. God is good.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a break for a second. KKXX listeners, you are listening to Christ Today on 104.5 FM and 930 AM. And if you guys are loving this show and enjoying it in the show every week, I would love to hear from you. Please call 894-7325 and leave a message. Let us know what you think about the show. If you want to talk to the host, Curtis Smith, leave a message and I will get back with you. And this show today is for lifting up Christ. It's for bringing the great news, not just the good news, into your home. And you are why we are here. You, the listeners, are why we were here. We're here for you. So hope you're listening, having a good time listening to this program. Tell your friends and let them know I'm also on podcast, kkxx.net, Christ Today on the podcast show once a week. Not once a week, every day of the week. And you can pick me up whenever. And so just want to leave that with you. All right, we're going to get back to the show. All right, so our guest is Lewis. I have a hard time with your last name, but anyways.
We'll Angelucci. Angelucci,
okay.
You know what's so funny?
Go ahead.
Because, you know, like I used to joke around saying the only thing I got from my dad was his last name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm what they call a mixed breed. Half Mexican, half Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those mixed breeds. But I grew up on my mom's side of the family, which are all Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But I got my dad's last name. So when they look at me, they're like, oh, he's Mexican. But your last name's Italian, so what are you? And it's like, Italian and Mexican, you know.
Half taco, half spaghetti.
No. What's so funny about that, my mom used to live in Paradise. She used to nurse from Butte Home Health. She lived out there. She was taking care of a lady.
Mm-hmm.
She needed like a in-home caregiver to stay with her. So we kind of shipped my mom out to Paradise. Then, you know, she wasn't working at the time, so everything worked out. So we go out there, and I knew the nurse for a long time. I used to work at Win Chamo Chico, which is assisted living. I worked there for, gosh, seven, eight years, something like that. But so I met her through there, and she's like, oh, so you're half Mexican, half Italian. That's a lot of cheese. And I never thought of it like that, but it's like, yeah, it is a lot of cheese.
Quite a cheesy person.
Yeah.
Cheesy family, for that matter.
But getting back to the testimony, my life story, which is still going. So, you know, I was in, where was it? Oh, yeah, we're in Whittier still. So, you know, I'm living out there, and, you know, God's moving, God's working. But the person that I was, I was always trying to fit in. You know, elementary school, I was cool. You know, I had my friends, my close friends. You know, we all grew up in the same street, the same neighborhood, you know. And, it's, you know, you could see them riding bikes and you're looking out the window like, oh, there they go. My grandma, I'll be back. I got to go. You know, it's kind of like the Sandlot kids, you know, just running around playing football, baseball, things like that, basketball. But then, let's see, my mom went to the women's home. So she's in Hayward now. And I'm so excited for that. That was like 95, 96. She went out there. Then it was the World Conference. So Victory Outreach, I think it's every couple of years. They kind of like the World Cup, you know. Every so many years they have the World Conference, so it's in San Diego. So we have car washes, all these things, so raise finances to go to San Diego. It's it's at the convention center or something like that. So we're in San Diego, and I mean, you got churches from Brazil, Africa, Europe, United States, from everywhere, and you're hearing
all over the place.
Yeah, you know, and you're hearing their testimony, and so they have like the big screen, you know, like if the Jumbotron, what a lot of people call it, and I'm looking, I was like, wait a minute, that looks like my mom, you know. And then she said she saw me, and she just started crying because she saw me. Just, she's never really seen me in this lifestyle. She's kind of, you know, she's been to the church, but she's never been involved in it, you know, never, you know. So I guess she, like, how do you say, her light got turned on. She's seen through, like, different eyes now, you know, different mentality thinking and things like that. So she saw me, and she was like, oh, mijo, it's so good to see you, and, you know,
Some of you don't understand Spanish language, mio, son.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it's just seeing God in her, especially at that time, because what she's been through, I mean, you know, maybe she might have to be a guest, because I know there's a lot of women going, you know, I'm sure, let's keep it about me. Sorry, Mom. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, people she could reach.
Just have your mom listen to the show on Saturday so she can hear you talking.
So, you know, we seeing her grow in Christ and things like that. And then about maybe a couple years after that, I'm still in down south. So she gives me a call like, hey, what do you think about moving up to Hayward? Okay, where is Hayward?
Yeah, I'm down here.
Where's Hayward? I've never heard of Hayward. You know where Oakland is? Yeah, okay. So, you know, something I wanted to, you know, I've always wanted, because my mom's always been there, so I wanted that relationship, you know, as a mother son, you know. So I ended up moving out there, but it's hard. It was kind of hard on both of us because I didn't really know her as a mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know she was my mom, but not, you know, she wasn't there as a mother type, mm-hmm. you know. So I said, I would always tell her, let's start off as a friendship and then let's build it from there because I don't know this person who, you know, I don't know this new Kareen. And you don't know this Lewis, you know, because you're all new in Christ, you know, new creation. So there were times where we would butt heads. You know, I think she wanted to be the mom, which she never really was. No disrespect. But, you know, it took a while. It was a lot of speed bumps, a lot of, you know, rocky road. And then...
kind of is when the parents and the son, or the parent and the child hasn't really had a relationship growing up. And then all of a sudden it starts happening. That kind of stuff expected.
And then especially when I don't know her, because I don't, because now she's a Christian, she's a believer, follower of Christ, and it's like I don't know this person.
No.
Who's this? I know the old Kareen, but you know, I like this person. Let's figure this out. So, I mean, we had a lot of good days, and you know, she remarried and different things like that, and you know, me and her ex-husband, you know, we butted a lot of heads. You know, he was a man of God, but I didn't really ask. I don't ask for a lot. But every once in a while, hey, I missed my bus. I got to go to work. Could you give me a ride?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You know, maybe once a week, every once in a while. And to me, it seemed like, and this is something that I held on to for a long time, because it's like, how could you help the church way more than the little bit I asked, hey, could you give me a ride? Hey, do you have a couple dollars? I need to take the bus. Things like that. And it was like, the church will call. He would jump up and run. You know, so it was like, well,
this is your dad.
This is her ex-husband, not my ex-husband, because that's a whole other show. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You don't even have an ex-husband. We're not even going on now. So forgive us, listeners.
So where did that come from? I have no idea.
let me get ready to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
But before I do that, I want to let my listeners know that you are listening to KKXX 9:30 a.m. Christ Today in 104.5, and you can also find me on the computer, kkxx.net, podcast, Christ Today. And this show is being directed at you. And last week, I made a lot of direction towards you, because this is your program. This isn't my program. I do this show for you to be encouraged and uplifted in the Lord, and that the Lord would be lifted up, because he says if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So we're going to get back to the show. And Lewis, through this whole thing, God did healing. So how was it for you to experience the healing that God was doing in this relationship between you and your mom? Was it hard? Was it difficult? Was it challenging? Could you see the healing? Was there resistance on your part? Was there resistance on your mom's part? How did God bring about the healing in this relationship between you and her?
I mean, a lot of it was just communicating, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of times where, you know, as a little kid, there was really no communication between us, you know, growing up with my grandparents, it was kind of like hi and bye, you know. She had to do what she, you know, she was living another life, and you know, she would come in, say hi, hang out for a little bit, take me out to eat, things like that, and then she was gone. So through all that, just a lot of communicating, and I would ask her questions, you know, why this and why that, you know, what happened this day? Like I could laugh about it now. There was a time where she was going to pick me up. I was going to high school. I was pretty smart in high school. I was in a AVID program where they prepare you for college. So we mm-hmm. were, you know, taking pre-SATs and we were going to different universities. And this is how you fill out applications. If you want to, you know, go to this university, maybe there's certain classes you take, you know, things like that, just all preparing us. So, I mean, I've visited USC, I've visited Cal State Fullerton, I visited San Diego State, a number of schools. So this one day, I'm so excited, you know, it was like kind of a week ahead or a couple weeks ahead, you know, they're telling us, oh yeah, we're going to go to UCLA. Now, that was a school that I wanted to go to, you know, just growing up, watching their basketball program, things like that, you know, just being part of the LA culture, I wanted mm-hmm. to go to UCLA. Because USC is too expensive.
Yeah.
But it was something I wanted to go to. And I was so excited. Oh, I'm going to go on this trip, and I'm going to go with the school, and I'm going to be happy. My mom's like, well, I get paid that Friday, because we were leaving on Friday. I get paid that Friday. Why don't you skip the school, and we can hang out? Oh, hey, that's even better. A school's a school. The school's going to be there forever. You know, I'm going to hang out with my mom. So after school, I'm sitting in front. And I'm waiting. Oh, well, maybe traffic. You know, I'll like traffic. Okay. Then I'm waiting some more. And I'm waiting some more. And I mean, I waited there probably like 45 minutes. I walked home crying. This is, you know, teenage kid walking home crying. So my grandpa's kind of like, what are you doing here? I thought your mom was going to pick you up. I thought the same thing, too. So when Monday comes, oh, man, you missed out, man. It was so much fun. We saw Magic Johnson. And, as, you know, growing up from Southern California, being in the LA area,
yeah,
Magic Johnson
spin,
was like,
yeah.
He was the man. I mean,
yeah.
He still is the man. But, mm-hmm. You know, just for so long, I held on to that.
So she totally forgot about you.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, like I said, I don't know really what happened, but, you know, but I could laugh, I could joke at it now.
Yeah,
you know?
You've been able to forgive.
So, you know.
Am I not accurate when I just said you were able to forgive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it took me to really forgive her for like a lot. It took mm-hmm. me, I don't know, gosh, it took me till like the last maybe 3 or 4 years, really, because
it's God that's had to do it, not you. You couldn't do it yourself. Yeah,
yeah. And yeah. when it's man-made, it's no good.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
No good.
So let me ask you another question. Before you came to the Lord, or after you came to the Lord, did you have any hurts toward him, bitterness toward him, resentment toward him for how you had been raised, how you had grown up? Was there like little bits and times where you were like angry, like, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? If you really care and you really love me, why did I have to go through this? How did that go?
Not towards him. It was, I didn't really take, you know, blame it on him. I always knew that kind of he was there, you know, because I grew up in a Catholic home, mm-hmm. you know, statues everywhere and, you know, crucifix everywhere. So, you know, but we never went to church. We went on like Good Friday, Easter. It was kind of like the selected holidays that you go to church. That's when we went. But even then, I could feel the peace of God or whatever that was, I wanted it, even as a little kid. So, you know, we would go to the church and I felt out of place because there's certain times when you say certain things like, you know, the I'm going to say pastor, the deacon or the father or, you know, they're speaking and then you hear the whole congregation, you know, repeat a saying. So, and I felt out of it because I never knew when to say it or, you know, different things like that. So I would always tell my grandma, I want to do what they call like first communion and get baptized and different things like that. But it never happened. And as I was growing up, you know, I started going to Victory Irish Church, which is a non-denominational church, but mainly it's a Christian church.
Yeah.
But you know, as I started going and I started getting deeper into this religion and into this faith and into this walk, that's when my grandma was like, oh, well, let's go to church now and let's do this and do that. I was like, no, I'm already committed over here.
Yeah.
It's kind of too late for that, but I'll go with you if you want to go. I'll go with you, or you could come over here.
But you already had a place where you were committed.
But yeah, you know, it's you know, I was a part of something and something big. And
did it become like a family to you?
Yeah. Oh, I had a good friend of mine in high school where a lot of his family were pastors and evangelists and different things like that. And I was, dude, I never knew that you were deep into this, you know. Or I shouldn't say that he was, but his family was. So he was around a lot of things. He knew certain musicians, you know, when back then, you know, the Christian hip-hop wasn't as big as it is now, but,
no,
you know.
Nobody really knew about hip-hop in the 80s and the 90s like they do today.
Well, maybe the Christian hip-hop, but the hip-hop, yeah. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, the Christian hip-hop was not really known in the 80s.
They had, like, Carmen, you know.
Carmen's awesome, but so, not like the music that we
yeah,
today.
Yeah, you know, and.
Who heard of Ditashi in the 80s?
I don't even think he was saved back then, so. He's in, I think he's from,
One
like, Texas or something.
One Point Crew was not heard of in the 80s or the 90s.
But,
folks, you may not even know who I'm talking about.
But, you know, just, you know, so yeah, the relationship me and my mom have now is I love it. You know, it's based around God,
mm-hmm.
and there's no other way that we could have it. We talk a lot. You know, I always tell her, you know, communication is the key. You know, if you're not.
Communication is key, yes.
It's like a relationship. If you don't talk to your significant other or your friend or whatever. It's, oh, well, you're not talking to me, then what's going on? You know, what's really going on?
So
she's in Hayward. I move out there. It just didn't work out. So we go back to...
Long-distance relationships hardly ever work out.
Yeah. So, no, this is like I had already moved to Hayward.
Oh, okay.
And then me and her husband, or her husband at the time, we just butted heads a lot.
Communication wasn't good between the two.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, why... Don't you want to help me? But you know, someone from the church calls, boom, right up, he's gone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, I'm your wife's son. I know we're not blood, but like, what's really going on? So that kind of was like, is this how all men act? Or, you know, and then that's when the thing is it the church? Is it him? And different things like that. One thing that I held on to, which I really didn't understand until probably like even to the last 5 or 6 years, where the ministry, or I should say the ministry, the church I was under, because they have, you know, churches in all over the world, different cities, different states. But for some reason, the Whittier church that I went through about, gosh, 5 pastors in about like 6 years or so. They went through a lot of pastors, maybe not 5, but like 3 or 4. But
quite a bit of ministry.
My thing was like, oh, you're a pastor, you know how we all kind of put that label. If you're a ministry, or if you're like an artist or something, oh, you're perfect. You know, you can't be touched. And it was kind of like, wow, they're people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're human. And so I held on to where I was upset. That's I could probably say that was probably the first time I was upset with God, because I loved the church. It was in my own city. I was a part of this family. And then little by little, it like pieces of a puzzle started breaking off. And then next thing you know, I backslid.
So what caused that upsetness to take place?
Just because there was just different pastors coming in, and then the pastor would come in, then he would fall because he's human. But me not really understanding and not knowing this walk, or because, I mean, it's almost like an ocean. You don't know how deep you can go. You just got to go, you know, and the deeper you go, the more closer to God you are. So I was kind of, you know, just kicking my feet in the water still, you know. I was just like, I'm not going to go in there yet. I'll be here in the water just kicking my feet.
You were kind of resistant.
And you know, a lot of it is just not knowing, you know, the scare, you know, that's faith. But a lot of it is just not knowing what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to go all the way in because I've been hurt so long through family, and I just don't want to be hurt again. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably the first time I was really upset with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have backslid in. I ran into a friend of mine at the bus stop, and he's like, why don't you just come out? We just want to visit you. We haven't seen you in like a couple of years. Why don't you just come back and say hi?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was with a friend, and I told him, I'll go with you, but I'm not going to go inside. I'll just kind of say hi and bye. And then it's like, come on in, so I'll give you a hug. You know, it's kind of like they set me up, you know. And so I go in there. It's a Wednesday night service. And, hey, how's it going? Just like handshakes. And then, so, hey, why don't you just sit back? You know, it was like, I got set up. It was like, oh, well, we're going to start church right now. Why don't you just sit in the back or sit, you know? And I was like,
Holy dang Ghost it.
Yeah, I don't even want to be here. And then the way God works, I don't know if it was a word or what happened, but I'm in the back, like, trying to be all cool, like, man, I'm good. And inside, I'm hurting. And like, mm-hmm. no, I'm not crying, man. It was something in my eye, and, you know.
yeah, so, yeah, trying
you know,
to hide.
Yeah, you know, the way God works is, sometimes I didn't even know how, but that's a whole nother subject. But yeah, you know, so I come in and just like that, bam. Okay, I'm back in church now, and things are going good. Things are going good. And now I'm here in Chico. You know, I follow the female, which a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, I didn't. Well, I did at one time, but not again.
Yeah, you learn from your mistakes. But
I moved to Idaho if you really love me. No, I don't think so.
But, you know, and kind of the whole reason why, because, you know, we were living in Riverside. We were a couple, whatever, you know, but then she moved out here, and me being around, well, like the family I grew up in, the men really didn't do nothing. I mean, they worked, they did stuff, you know, but it wasn't like they never cleaned, they never washed clothes. My grandma cooked
Leave
for
that
them,
to the ladies,
you know.
Right?
You know, it was kind of like, wow, this is what I don't want. So
the attitude.
So I used to always tell my grandma, okay, show me how to turn the washer on. You know, how do I, like little things like that, you know, how do I iron? I really never ironed before. You just, as a kid, you just throw your clothes on, go play, you know. So as I'm growing up, I'm like, this is what I don't want to be. And my grandpa, you know, growing up with him, he's always telling me, you're the man of the house. Not now, but, you know, you have to grow into that man. And he's like, get a job. I don't care where you work at. You could flip in burgers. You could do construction. Whatever it is, you have to provide for your family. And me seeing my grandfather do that, you know, he was a cement mason. And, you know, just seeing him do that was like, okay, this is what I want. So I moved out here just so I could be on my own. I really was never on my own. Then, you know, you get sucked up in Chico quick. You know?
You got sucked up in Chico. You got sucked
yeah. up. But you can. I mean, people come here and it's like, yeah, I'm going to school. And then it's just, you know, that Chico lifestyle could really get to you.
What do you think causes that? Or how do you think that happens?
Well, and a lot of it with me is just trying to fit in. You know, I've always, like I was saying, in elementary school I was good. And then my grandma's like, you're not going to this junior high because of the gangs. Mm-hmm. So I went to a whole new junior high and I'm the new kid in school. I knew about a handful of people. So, like, I'll be the crazy kid. I'll be the stupid kid, the one that makes everyone laugh just to fit in. You know, so for since junior high up until, gosh, I guess until in my Chico time, I was just trying to fit in, trying to, you know, be the stupid kid, the funny kid. Oh, yeah, Lewis is so cool. He's so funny. You know, he burned the trash can. Oh, my gosh, he should have been there. It was so awesome. You know, like just stupid stuff like that, you know. And then
arsonist. Should have been a criminal. Just kidding. You weren't.
Now I'm on the Holy Ghost fire, and that's a different type of fire. Faith
talk
on
about,
fire.
Let's talk about that. Talk about the Holy Ghost fire that you're on.
You know, it's so funny because the way God gets our attention is, you know, he speaks to people differently.
Yeah, he does.
And sometimes you have to literally fall on your face or, you know, I love you, Mom, but the way God spoke to her this last time, she had a number of falls and, you know, she had to really fall, literally fall for her to open her eyes, you know. And with me, God had to send me to jail. I only did 2 days, but.
You sent yourself there, God, and he allowed you to go there because that was your choice.
Well, yeah. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but I also want my listeners to be clarified in what you're saying. So that's all right. So go
the,
ahead.
The political, let's be politically correct. So, So God opened the doors for me to go to jail, and it was funny because I was in the parking lot, JCPenney's, and this was right after me and my ex-wife, we got separated. So there was a void, and I had this hole in my heart where I was trying to fill, you know, so I was drugs and drinking and women. I was just out there trying to fill this hole, trying to fill this void, and I wasn't working at the time. I just got laid off, so I was like, man, how am I going to get some money? You know, well, let me go to JCPenney's. Let me get some clothes. Then I could sell them. Or sometimes I would, you know, well, I wouldn't say what I do because that's, but you know.
That was the past Lewis.
Yeah.
It's not that
yeah.
Today's
oh,
Lewis.
But it's funny because I'm in the parking lot And I had my kids in the car and my friends in the car, and it was like, okay, we could either go to Fit One, which is now NS. I was like, because that's what I was going. I would go work out. The kids would do a karate program they had. So I'm like, either I could go to Fit One, go work out, or I could go to JCPenney's and shoplift. And I'm literally having this conversation in my mind with the Lord. I'm like, man, working out sounds really good. I could shoot some baskets. I could do this, do that. Well, okay, Lord. You know how we always kind of like, okay, Lord, let me do this one last time. I promise you. It was the last time, and it was the last time. But this time, this is really going to be the last time. So I kind of felt God say, okay, this is going to be the last time. Not knowing that he was in control. We used to do the radio show here with the kickback. We would always say it's chess, not checkers. We're chess, you got to think about three moves ahead of you. We're checkers, you just, I jumped you, game's over.
Yeah.
You know, so God's, you know, we're all the pieces, and God's just like kind of moving around. Like, okay, well, if I move him, I'll move him to Chico to follow a girl. So in the end run, I'll get him over here to Family Life Church. You know, things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over there, and I get caught shoplifting. For some reason,
that's where my mom has always said, "Be sure your sins will find you out. Your sin found you out. You thought you could get away, but God didn't want you to get away that time."
You know, it's like I said, God knew what he was doing, because I told him it was the last time, five other times ago.
Yeah.
So God's like, "Okay, I know who you are. You're my son. So let me take care of it. This is gonna be your last time." Bam! I get busted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I happen to have drugs on me, you know, things of that nature. Then I go to jail. I guess it's like the holding cell in Chico before you go to Oroville. So I'm in there. I'm the only one in the pod or in the cell or whatever. So I'm like, well, I've seen a lot of movies. If I'm in jail, I'm going to start doing sit-ups and push-ups. I'm trying to prepare, you know, from what I've seen in TV, you know. And I heard that voice. I'm only going to put you through what you can handle. I held on to that like it was my last dollar. I mean, man. So I said, okay, I'm in the paddy wagon or whatever. We're going to the jail now. I'm like, okay, as we're getting closer, I'm like, okay, this is real. This is really happening. Okay, Lord, you said, and I'm literally like, you know, clenching my fist. Okay, you said you're only going to put me through what I can handle. You know, I'm smart enough to not tell people that I'm from LA. I'm smart enough to know when you go to jail, don't say, especially from when you're in the, you know, up here in the North State, you don't say you're from LA, because that opens a whole another can of worms. Mm-hmm. And I'm not from a gang, so I, you know, So I get up there, and you know, they gave you like a duffel bag full of stuff. I'm, you know, walking to my cell or to my bunk. So I get there, and the very first thing they do, I get hit up. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Chico. I'm not stupid. I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get shanked on my first day in jail for a little petty crime that I did. You know.
Exactly.
So I'm from Chico, and then because at the time I was going to Christian Life Center, I said, well, really, I'm from Christian Life Center. You know, I said, man, I'm going through a lot. I'm a believer in it. And like I said, I was holding on to his word. I said, you know, believe it or not, I'm really a Christian. I shouldn't even be here. I made a mistake, this and that. So they're like, okay, cool. Let me make your bed for you. I was like, go ahead. So they give you like a flat sheet. You know how like in the bed, like the little mattress, they give you a fitted sheet.
Yeah.
You know, you put the fitted. No, it's a flat sheet. So they're like, you tie the ends like this so the sheet can stay on. Boom, one. I'm going to put you through what you can handle. God's taking care of me. So I get, it's like 11:30 at night. So I go to sleep. Wake up at like 5 in the morning for breakfast or whatever time it was. So the person next to me, he's like, hey, don't you live at North Avenue, these apartments? Yeah. Well, I used to live there. Now I'm over here now. It's like, don't you have a kid? Well, yeah, I have two kids. What are you doing here? You need to be home taking care of your kids. But if you need anything, I got you. If you need some food, if you need toiletries, I got you. God's taking care of me, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like, wow.
That's God's way of watching out for you and taking
so
care
then,
of you.
So then that's when it kind of, the light went on, you know. So I get released. So I'm there like, say, a total of 2 days, go to court, do all that stuff. I get released. I go to Christian Life Center. And there's there was a gentleman, an elder, I would say, you know, he comes up to me after the church service, you know, and like I said, every church, I've been to a number of churches here, and every time I went, God spoke to me. But, mm-hmm. you know, and again, the way God works, it's chess, not checkers. I was working at Wind Chama Chico. We had a lady there, Betty Wymore. She, her son, Fred Wymore, was a pastor of Christian Life Center, and now it's Jeff Young. But so I'm over there, and, you know, I wasn't saved at the time while I was working at Wind Chime. So she would always, there's like a little button you push. Oh, you know, I can't sleep. I need a pill, or I got a headache, or I need this, I need that. So she was pushing it because she was getting these leg cramps. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm like, I got a bunch of stuff to do. So just like, you know, I'm thinking like, man, lady, I still got to take care of this person. I got to shower this person. I got to do laundry. I got to do all this other things. Like, leave me alone, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't tell her that, but in my head, I'm thinking it. She's like, oh, I got these leg cramps and I can't sleep.
So I'll be right there.
So I was like, well, could I pray for you? And I didn't, that was the last thing on my mind was to pray for her, but I knew because she was a, you know, her background. So I said, well, let me pray for her. So I prayed for her. She said she'd never slept any better ever since she's been living there. So every night she wanted me to pray for her. The way God works. Yeah. It's chess, not checkers, you know? Yeah, so
I like that.
So, so one time she's like, well, why don't you just come to the church and check it out? Okay, I'll do it because you're a nice lady. You know, I'll help her out. And then it was just, and then like God opened the can of worms and it, you know. So I get released from jail and I started going to church and but I haven't been in that church in a while because even right before, you know, when I was still kind of, you know, after, you know, right before I got divorced and before the separation, I was still going to that church, but, you know, I was still kind of, we call it teeter-totter, you know, you're up and down, you have good days, you have bad days, I was both sides of the fence type thing, you know. So
kind of like my mom would say, wishy-washy.
Yeah, yeah.
The good days, you didn't need Christ. On the bad days, Christ was there.
And, so it, you know, it's funny because I saw a social club, they're a Christian rap group that I like, and they posted something on Facebook. If you're only, how did it say, if you're praying to God when you're in trouble, then you're in trouble. So, so I go there, and the way the Spirit works, well, I don't know the way it works, but the Spirit does work.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit works.
I go
there after church, you know, and it's like I haven't been there in a while. And then, so one of the elders, he was like, bam, you're going through this and this and this and this. And like I said, I haven't been in that church in a year, maybe a year and a half. And it was just like, that was one of those like slap in the face, or not in the hip, but you know how like your parent kind of slaps it. Come on, stupid, come on. You know, it was like, okay,
yeah,
God's in control. And then,
getting your attention, but not calling you stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he talks to everyone different. He talks to me like that. He just slaps me in the back of the head. No. but yeah, and then, so it was just kind of like a eye-opening experience. Wow. I haven't seen anyone in a year and a half, and they knew exactly what I was going through. You know, mm-hmm. that's the way God works. So then I started getting involved in church again, and then I was telling my mom, come on, let's start going to church. And so we start going there, and we went there, gosh, for a couple of years faithfully, you know.
So then your mom got saved. Your mom's saved now. You and your mom are now building this relationship. And then something happens with this girl, and you have kids and stuff. So let's jump forward a little bit.
Well, you know, we went through a separation. We're divorced now.
You and the woman, not you and your mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah, so my ex-wife, and like I said, I got nothing but love for her. And a lot of people don't. It's kind of hard to, you know, a lot of it was because of the kids. Oh, I'll just be nice for her because of the kids. Because, you know, I've been through a lot of pain in my life. I've been through broken families, like I said, Super Bowl Sunday, 4th of July, it seemed that the police are always at our house more than any other houses that, you know. So I was like, okay, I'll do it for them. I'll talk to you so the kids could be happy, you know. And, you know, just things didn't work out. And, you know, we're in two different, you know, she's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. But I just always tell her, I'm there for you, you know. I'm there for you. And people are like, well, how could you, and this and that. And it's just like, it's because of God. God's
exactly.
Love is real, you know.
God's love.
You know,
that's what we need.
It's hard to explain to people that don't know the Lord or that don't really follow the Lord, you know, because, like, I go to a Family Life Church now, and Pastor Hale is
awesome
always
church, awesome
talking
pastor.
About love. And until I started going to that church, that was real. I didn't really understand God's love and real love. You know, you could say I love you and different things like that, but that's until then, that's where like God revealed that to, like, okay, let's get this relationship with your mom figured out. If you need to talk to her, you know, whatever you need to do, but let's work on it. So little by little, I would talk to her about this. And I'd say, you don't have to get into detail of, you know, why you did it, but just, I want you to know it hurt me, you know. So now we have a good relationship, but to go back with Jennifer, my ex-wife, you know, I'm always going to be there for her, and she understands that. But I think the way she is, I think she holds on to a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. So a lot of the hurt that I cause and a lot of the pain that I cause, she's holding on to that.
She hasn't come to Christ yet.
No. No, she is a believer. She knows the Lord. She's had a relationship with him.
So then she's saved.
She's probably saved in a sense of, like, you know, I served the Lord at one time. I just don't know where she's at now, okay. You know.
Well, that's between her and God.
Yeah. But
the truth is, you're either saved or you're not.
Yeah. And so now, you know, I got two beautiful kids, and it's so awesome to see my kids love the Lord at a young age. I mean, mm-hmm. My daughter's 10, Jasmine, she's 10, and God's using her at church. God's using her at school to pray for people, to, you know, to minister to kids. And it's awesome to see kids, or not just kids, but see her at that young age. Because when I was 10, I was rolling on the ground, playing with little army men, you know, rolling cars, things like that. But, plus I didn't know the Lord then at that age. But, you know, it's so awesome to see her just love God, just like, I mean, really love God. And now it's kind of, I'm at that point where it's like, okay, you love the Lord. We're, you know, me, my mom, and my kids, we're in a Christian family. We're in a, you know, we got a good foundation that we're built on where, you know, and communication is key. And I talk to my daughters a lot. I don't get into detail of what happened or why, but I tell her, yeah, I did this, I did that. Yeah, I was on drugs. You know, I just want her to kind of like shine the light a little bit on what's out there, you know, and she, that girl loves God. And Amen. Then my 7-year-old Chantel, she's starting to come around, you know. Praise God. God is good.
Let me once again tell the listeners out there listening that you're listening to KKXX 104.5 and 9:30 a.m. on the AM dial. And I have a gift certificate to give out. If you guys love food and you love healthy food and you love healthy beverages such as juices, espressos, I mean, you love juice. You love to drink juice. And I'm not talking about Jamba Juice. I'm talking about good juice. Jamba Juice is good. Don't get me wrong. But there's a place called Fresh Twisted Fruit. And it is a cafe restaurant over on Eaton Avenue, which is right by the PDQ Market. And every week I try to give a gift away. But this week, this gift is $25 gift certificate. It's a gift card that you can use for two people, possibly three people. But it's a $25 gift card. And I'm going to give it away to caller number one. But when you call, leave why you like the show. Let me know that you like the show and that you like today's show. Because this show is directly directed to you. And I hope that you get something out of it. And I'm really looking forward to being with you every week. And I want to thank you guys for your prayers and for listening. Lewis, we've got just a few minutes. I want you to just talk to people out there that are hurting right now and share with them a little bit about what God has showed you about his love and about how to turn everything over to God and just letting God be their Lord and be their helper with whatever they're going through. I want you to talk to the listeners, and I want you to just, you've got about 5 to 6, maybe 7 minutes. Just go for it.
Well, first of all, I want to let you know that God is real, and his love never fails. I mean, it's kind of hard to think, like, wow, the kind of, especially the world we're living in now, where it's just so much chaos and so much drama, and it's like, wow, but God's there. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't work out and then go to the gym. You go to the gym and mm-hmm. work out. Yeah. You don't get right, healthy, and then go to the hospital. You go there hurting. Yeah. You know, and that's the way God is. Just come. Yeah. I've been inviting a friend to church for the longest time. Oh, well, you know, I didn't have time. I had to shave. So for the longest time, I didn't shave, you know. So I would come in all scruffy looking and, don't you shave? Don't you, you know? And I'm like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could come in shorts. I could come in flip-flops. It doesn't matter. Just come, you know, let God change you, you know. So, You know, just to know that God's always there. Things don't happen overnight, but things will happen. A lot of times, God wants the free will. You know, God gives us free will to make a left or make a right. Do I go straight? Do I go back? You up or down? You know, God gives us free will. And a lot of times, he wants to see. It's funny because how I talk to my kids, God talks to me the exact same way. You know, it's like I tell my kids, I let them make mistakes so they can learn from their mistakes. Like I tell my kids, I can't be there all the time to protect you and fight all your fights. Sometimes, hey, you got to take a loss, but you get back up. Or sometimes
but
you
got
to...
God always is there, though. Even though you're not, God's always there.
No, yeah, you. Yeah. You know, but it's like, you know, I can't always be there for you, but knowing you have to fall, you have to get up. You know, it's like boxing. I know the Saturday is a big fight, you know. Mayweather-Pacquiao, you know.
Yeah.
Mayweather-Pacquiao, but it's like... A boxer doesn't stay on the ground when he gets knocked down. He has to get back up or you lose. And that's how we are as believers. You fall, you get back up. There's no standing eight count. You got to get up. You know, God's always there, man. God's always there. And the way he speaks to me, he might speak to other people differently. He speaks to me through music. I listen to a lot of Christian music, you know, rap, rock, worship. And like there is a time, like even just yesterday, you know, I'm going through some financial stuff that, you know, and I was at work. I'm at buffing the floors over at the hospital, and then I hear there's a radio station. I got a tune-in app where I can listen to radio station over in Orlando, Florida. And then a song called "Sweet Victory" by Tripoli comes on, and I'm sitting there like literally like tears are coming down my eyes. You know, I'm just like, wow. It's like I got sweet victory in Jesus. Pretty much, it's like I got sweet victory. Yeah. You know. And then he starts going into the song about, you know, what's going on in his life, things like that. And I was like, man, I got victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, so God's always there. You know, he's only a phone call away. You know, and the way I'm talking is the way you talk to God. You don't have to, because when I got saved at a young age, you're thinking like, oh, I got to say these big words and I got to open the dictionary
and look at conversation with God.
Just talk to him.
Yep.
Just talk to him. The way you hear my voice is the way you talk to God.
And as it starts out, it changes over a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. You see growth coming in, you know.
You got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And hasn't that been a power in your life?
You know, it has. It was funny because I could remember it was a time in my life where I was just going through some, you know, I was going through the fire. Rich DaCosta.
Rich and Sherry
DaCosta,
yeah.
I mean, man, that guy is awesome. Some of the stories he tells me, it's like, man, who cares? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Let's do it. I don't care. Let's do it. So we wanted my mom to get baptized. So he's like, okay, your mom's going to get baptized. And then my cousin Josh was going to get baptized. And we had a couple other people from church that were going to baptize. It was a Sunday night service.
Mm-hmm.
So Rich is like, hey, brother, you know, gives me a big hug. You're going to baptize him. And I'm looking at him like, me? Like, who am I? You know, if you only knew what I was going through, like,
yeah,
a week before, you know, all the junk I was going through. But that's the way God works. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call.
Yeah.
You know,
the call, doesn't, you know, qualify. Yep.
So, yeah, I was like, wait, I'm trying to say it in my head before I said it. I didn't want to, you know, mess up. Edit that part out. No. So then I'm thinking like, and I look back at what God has done, you know, and it's funny because we all want, okay, God, I need you now. I need you right now. And God's like, well, what about this other time and this other time I came through and this other time I came through? You know, I can honestly say that the apartment I live in is from God. I can honestly say the job I got was through God. The car that I had a junk because I wasn't taking care of it was because of God. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle.
Everything happened because of God. God was behind it all.
He's had his fingerprints all over my... I mean, you do a DNA test, you look through, I mean, God's fingerprints are all over that place. I mean, he's been there so many times, and then we're always... Oh, I didn't say we, but a lot of time, you know, I kind of say, okay, God, where are you at? I'm going through some junk. Where are you at? And he's like, wait a minute, I was here. Oh, you know, look at the trail I gave you, you know. So I said, okay, Lord, you're going to provide like you always do. You know, I always tell people, I always have food in my cabinets. My kids have clothes on their back. There's a roof over their head. God's in control. He's taking care of me. And that's where it needs to be.
Well, guess what you get to do, Lewis? You get to begin to pray out and pray for anybody out there that you feel that you, whatever God's laid on your heart, just pray for them. And we're going to close this interview off because there's a couple things I want to share before we're done. So go ahead and say some prayer.
And real quick, I remember when we had the radio show here, a free gift card, if it's free, it's meant for me.
No, not today.
No, I'm saying no for the people listening.
Yeah, it if it's free, it's meant for you. So call in whenever you hear something. And if you don't think you're going to win, there's always other stuff in the studio that can be given out. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Awesome show. Awesome show. You know.
Tell your friends, Lewis.
Oh, will do. Will do.
Everybody to listen.
Yeah.
But let's pray this out because there's a couple things I want to do before we get off there.
For the people listening, like I said, a prayer is just words. You know, you don't have to go to universities and have a theological, it's just talking. So right now, if you could hear my voice, I just want to let you know that God loves you. Jesus mm-hmm. loves you. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, he's always there for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I do pray that someone can relate to, you know, a broken family, you know, broken marriage, you know, a kid trying to fit in. You know, especially with the things that are going on now, I think a lot of times people just try to fit in to feel, you know, to feel loved. And, mm-hmm. You know, God's always there. You know, I do pray that even if it's, if you could take one word or not one word, but if it reaches one person, then I did my job.
That's so true. One person being reached is what this station's about.
Because by my testimony, if I can reach one person, that one person can reach who knows.
Yeah, amen.
So it's like the ripple effect. You drop a pebble and you see how far it goes because of one ripple leads to another. And, you know, but, you know, just continue to put God in your life. And not only that, to live it, you know, live it every day.
Let Christ be your life.
Every day, you know. I even tell people sometimes the society is so quick. You know, it's the microwave society where, oh, I want things done. You got drive up ATMs. You got, you know, drive up coffee shops. You don't even have to get out your car to get your prescription. You just drive through, you know. We're so fast. Sometimes we got to slow down and just take, like, people take it one day at a time, or I take it one step at a time. You got to, like, really break it down and see how small we are in God's hands.
Well, Lord, my brother and I agree right now that you touch anybody out there that needs you to touch them, that needs you to reveal yourself to them. Lord, that they would just open their eyes, open their hearts to you. And Lord, that you would speak to them, whatever they're going through, Lord. Lewis has a testimony that I hope has touched maybe somebody out there today. And I pray that you just bless the listeners and just do with them, just give them your strength and your peace. And Lord, we thank you for this day. And we pray that you will be with us until we come again next week, unless you come forth before him. And Lord, I lift up the two brothers right now. I lift up their families and I pray that you be with them. You watch over them and touch the families and give them the peace and the comfort that they need right now. That can only come from your spirit. And we thank you, Father, for this day. Well, folks, if you don't know, Vaughn, age, I don't know whatever his age was, but went on to be with the Lord on Saturday. And last night, Terry Bridges. If anybody's out there listening, you know Terry Bridges. He went on to be with the Lord last night. So, keep the families in prayer. Keep the families in prayer. And we will be with you and talk with you next week as we have Kim Whitten, our speaker. Have a great week and God bless.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.